darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. I suggest that you cover a different frightening game each week for the month of October. Your lives may depend on it. Beware the spook times.
This week in your parents' basement, we are playing as Trevor Belmont, also known as Ralph C. Belmondo, in Castlevania III, Dracula's Curse, by Konami, for the NES. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the pirate that scurries around walls. It's Todd Brisket.
Ooh. I practice sorcery in order to create a bad world filled with evil.
Is that a quote from Dracula in this game, or?
That's in the intro to this game.
Oh, boy. I just hit start as soon as I could. Oh. And our other co-host, he hates bats so much that he has learned their ways and can now turn into one. It's Huell Hauser.
It's a cursed world we live in, thanks to Drac.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ybbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. And as always, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link. You can find it right in the YPB homepage, ybbpodcast.com. This week's game is Castlevania III, Dracula's Curse. Released in 1990, this game is actually a prequel to the events of Castlevania 1 and 2. You play as Trevor Belmont, an ancestor of Simon, the hero of the original games. It is 1476, and Dracula has unleashed an army of monsters across Europe. This is a platform action-adventure game like the original Castlevania, but with some added fun wrinkles. You can now acquire a companion and switch between them and Trevor during stages, and there are also multiple level paths through the game. The spirits told us to play this game because we had had a run of pretty mediocre games lately. So, Huell, as a Castlevania expert, what did you think of this one?
Yes, as an expert, this is the third Castlevania game. Nope, my mistake. Fourth Castlevania game I've ever played.
Oh.
Castlevania 3. That does seem strange. But we did skip 2. I don't know if we want to talk about that now or later.
We should bring it up. The people are wondering, yes, why are we not working on 2 and we're going straight to 3?
Because we did 1. Then we jumped ahead to
Sympathy.
Sympathy of the Night.
Yep.
Now we're jumping back to the original timeline. Well, kind of. And hitting Castlevania 3. And I was told by experts, more expert than me, that Castlevania 2 is bad. And we should not play it.
Castlevania 2 has some, on TV tropes, they would call it "guy dang it," where you cannot get through that game without a guide or Nintendo Power or something like that.
Right. I think we definitely covered that in our Nintendo Power episode.
And and it's more frustrating than a regular Castlevania game is.
Right. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, well, frustrating in some ways in that you don't know where to go or what to do, but the combat of that game is oddly very easy. Like, you get a fire whip in it, and you can just mow down everything.
Mow
him down.
Yeah. At the end of that game, you can beat Dracula by just throwing garlic at him. So
hey, Steve. So when Trevor Belmont goes to cut the lawn of his castle.
Yeah, is this lawn too long?
What is the action that he's doing?
Does he mow it down?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Huh.
Yeah. Mow down.
Okay. Well, playing 3 this week for my first time ever, it did remind me a lot of the first one, which is a very good thing because the first one's very fun, very good. It's challenging, but good. And playing 3, at least in the first part, it's a lot like Castlevania 1. until you beat the first boss, and then the path splits. You get to decide where to go next. And then once you get a little further, you get a ghost pirate friend, and everything starts getting a little different. So it's like the first one, just with more features, which is what a sequel should be doing.
You
should
be taking upon it.
Yeah, you should be taking everything that was good about the first one. People like the first one. It's very popular. Let's just use that and put a few more fun things on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. Also, I mean, they did do that to the extreme when in number two, which is like, oh, instead of having a linear path, let's just open up the entire world and make it more
like
an item collection game.
That's a bit different. I mean, this is still like a good level by level side scroller. You just get to choose different paths and a little bit of backtracking.
Mm-hmm.
Because backtracking was a big thing in Sympathy of the Night. So I'm glad this one didn't go quite that crazy.
Sympathy of the Night is just a that's like a Metroidvania game. Like, that's a Super Metroid.
It's hard to compare. Yeah, we shouldn't be comparing to that because that's in the future. But I did it anyway. But anyway, maybe this is the stepping stone to that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, perfect way to describe Sympathy of the Night is when I fell in love with Castlevania. I played the others growing up. I cracked some whips, but I didn't fall in love with Castlevania until Sympathy of the Night, where it became more of an RPG game in a Metroidvania style.
Right. Yeah, and that was very fun. But it should be noted, as implied in the intro, this is a prequel to the first Castlevania.
Yes.
Yeah.
Trevor Belmont is a distant ancestor of Simone Belmont, the star of Castlevania 1.
Yes. It does have a confusing title.
A bit.
Because it's called Dracula's Curse, but the second game in the series is all about Dracula cursing you.
Right, of course.
Yeah, the second game is called Simon's Quest. So it makes me think that that maybe Dracula's Curse is like the subtitle of the second game in Japan or something. And then for whatever reason, they just used it for the third game in the series in the US, because it does not make much sense. I guess Dracula has cursed the land in this third game, but it seems odd because the entire second game is literally there are cutscenes about it, how it's an awful night for a curse, I think, and that kind of stuff. But there's plenty of English in this game, though.
I'm pretty sure Dracula's Curse was a subtitle of Doki Doki Dracula, which was then morphed into Castlevania 2.
Oh, yes. Makes a lot of sense.
They had to reuse that subtitle.
Mm, yes.
Is this the first appearance of Alucard?
It is. It is in this game series the first appearance of Alucard.
Yes, the star of Castlevania Sympathy of the Night.
People are going to get confused about why you keep saying that unless they listen to that episode where I cannot say sympathy. I keep saying sympathy instead of symphony.
Yes.
But yeah, I talk real good sometimes.
How did Mookie, Stick, and Tonto get involved with the plague?
Great ask.
Yeah. As we all know, River City Ransom. That's what that's a reference to. So playing this game this week, by the way, this is a rarity in that I actually was able to beat it.
Whoa. Nice. This is supposed to be harder than the first Castlevania.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I did find it. So I did not do it super legitimately. Like, I use save states.
Oh, you use the Steve technique.
Yeah. Of course. We only have so much time, Todd.
Sure. We are. Like I say many, many times. And we all say on this show, not just me, we all say, on both sides, we all say this. We may be professionals, but we're not experts.
Yes.
Good call.
I've said it internally every episode.
So the difficulty in this one, I think it's much more fair. There's less of the the Medusa heads that just repeat endlessly at you. You can memorize the patterns and kind of get through this game. It's still really hard. And the kicker is the end of the game. Obviously, you're fighting Dracula. It is a 3-stage boss battle. So
yeah,
That and it is not easy. And before him, the Grim Reaper in this game is probably like one of the worst bosses like I can imagine. Like, you only have to get him with the boomerang like 10 times or so. Like, he actually takes damage pretty easily, but he's just throwing them sickles at you.
He loves them sickles.
Yeah, there's just four at a time on the screen. Yeah, he's tossing
flush with sickles.
Yeah.
How can I hold all these sickles?
How can I?
Sickle cell. That's what he's giving you.
Oh, whoa. Jeez. Wow.
I actually found that more difficult than Dracula, because Dracula, he has it is three stages with three life bars, but that at least like his attacks you can see for the most part, and they're somewhat easy to avoid. Grim Reaper in this game is tough. He is a tough baddie. So,
second stage Drac is kind of a cakewalk. It's just a giant blob of heads floating around. A
bunch of faces, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely didn't beat this game, but I did watch the final boss fight. It's something I like to do in these kind of games. And it looked really interesting with the three stages. And that's a classic, I don't want to call it trope, but a classic kind of thing in these games. But it was awesome.
Yeah, it started, I think this, I'm not sure if this is the first or second game that did it in the series, where after this, like, Dracula boss fights are like 40 stages each. Like, there's multiple stages for all of them every time you fight him in the future.
I mean, it's Dracula.
Yeah.
It's not just going to go down he's not one no stage. Come on.
And also, it doesn't seem to matter that you beat him. You beat him in like every single one of these games, and there's been like about 15 of them.
He just goes to sleep for a while.
Yeah.
It's like, let me recover here. Took a whipping.
Yeah.
Some holy water.
Now, Huel, I would like to give you this honor, which is, you mentioned a pirate friend. What is the name of that pirate friend?
Oh, boy. Yeah. I was very excited to learn the name of Mr. Pirate Friend. Grant Danasty.
Oh, yeah.
When I reached that point in the manual, I was very happy. Grant Danasty.
Yep. Of course, there's him. There's also Alucard, as we mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Alucard appears as one of your spirit friends.
And let me take the third one, which is a lady, magician.
Kind of. Yeah.
Named Selfie Belgrande.
Ah. Well.
Yes.
In the manual.
Kind of.
Selfie Belgrande is referred to as a he. So yes. I really hope...
Oh, that's a whole Seamus alert there.
I really hope you haven't confused yourself.
Well, no. Here's the weird part. She is also mentioned when you first get her. They say that this is a vampire hunter, and he's joining you, and he's going to be your companion. He knows magic spells. Then at the end of the game, it's Sifa, or whatever her name is a female, and she cuddles up to you, and you find out that her and Trevor Belmont get married like in the future.
What?
They make Simons.
So, yeah.
But they're trying to, I mean, you know, if Trevor came across Selfie Belgrande in the woods, and he noticed that she was actually a woman with woman parts, then he would have just left her there. Like, I don't need no woman to help me kill Dracula. I'm going by myself. That's why she has to pull a Mulan and pretend to be a man.
No.
Hang on. If she's a spirit, how do they eventually get married and have future Belmonts?
I don't think she is a spirit. She's a... You rescue her. She gets turned into a statue by a Cyclops. And when you beat the Cyclops, it frees her. Like, I think that's the deal with her.
Because Grant Danasty is definitely a ghost. And then Alucard, I guess, is a vampire.
He's he's half vamp. He's a blade. Half vamp.
Mm-hmm. He's, yes, the Wesley Snipes vehicle. So I guess Sifa's bad thing was a statue?
Yeah. Like she had been turned to stone. And of the companions, she is probably the least useful of the three.
I mean, that depends on least useful how, because I think for a noob player, if you're not advanced, Grant Dynasty is the one you go with, because he can climb on walls, climb on ceilings, mm-hmm. he can jump higher, run faster, and he can control himself in midair. In a jump, he can turn around. So that's why Grant Dynasty is good for
something
for a noob.
Very frustrating that Trevor cannot do.
Yes.
And then Alucard is the second cheap one, because he can shoot balls out, balls of destruction, as they're called. Seriously. Mm-hmm. He can shoot out his balls of destruction and turn into a bat and fly around obstacles.
Yes. Now, that is why they are both much superior.
Correct. I mean, yeah, for the average player, but if you take out old Sifa Belgrande, let me tell you this, man, her magic, shoot any bad boy with her flame shot and it is dead in one hit. That's why Sifa is she's secretly the most powerful one. I mean, she jumps pretty good, but her melee attack sucks. But if you get some hearts in her and let her throw out some flames and some magic, she destroys everything.
Well, Steve was just of the same mindset that Trevor would be of, why do I need this woman tagging along? this is pointless.
I did find the person I used most was Trevor, though, because I just got that triple shot for the boomerang, and just like that first game, that is probably your best crowd control weapon. Like, the only thing you really run into problems with is, like, when you're climbing stairs, it can be tricky to, like, kill a skeleton at the top of it or something like that. So,
Trevor is also the beefiest. He can take the most hits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the annoying part is, though, you have a companion, but you share a life bar. Because that would have really helped if you could kind of bounce back and forth between them.
Like, if you switch, they would get their own. I feel like that was on purpose. They didn't want you doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're
jerks. Clearly. Yeah. But
Danny Konami put an end to that.
Oh, yeah. But no, this is a I really enjoyed this game.
Yes, refreshing break from our past few weeks.
Our usuals.
It's funny because a lot of these, when we play them, the good ones, we're like, yeah, it was tough, but if I had some more time with it, if I was a kid with more free time, I feel like I'd be good at it. And I know you guys played it as a youth, but I don't know, just feeling this, playing this, it just felt like I would never be good at it. I don't know why. It's like the patterns are like the Medusa heads and the bats are so hard to pick up on, those GD bats, and just, I don't know, it's just something about it. These Castlevania games, that I just don't think I could pick up on them.
I played this one as a kid. Like, it was a rental. I never owned this one. I definitely didn't beat it. Like, I think the furthest I got was like five or six stages in. But that's kind of similar to the original Castlevania, which I did own. But I would just like to pick them up and play them for a bit and see how far I could get.
I mean, it's just so satisfying even going through the first stage and just picking it up and playing the first stage. Because, first of all, hey, that music. You got to love that music. Konami Castlevania. That gets you pumped.
It's like it's like a remix of the original theme.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like there's notes of it. There's hints of it.
Yeah, and it's just satisfying going through that first stage where you pick up a powered whip and you just start whipping those zombies and skelly bones. Yes.
It definitely, you mentioned, like, you in the Splatterhouse episode, like, you like that crunch when you're playing. Yeah,
that juice.
And this game, that definitely, this game has that too, where it's just, it's just fun to beat the easy enemies, like the zombies and stuff like that. The bone things that spit fireballs at you, it's very satisfying to just whip them. So, like that,
definitely.
That part's all good.
And going back to the music, and we have to touch on this one, otherwise we're going to get a million and 10 angry emails about it. Yes. the Super Famicom, or sorry, not Super, the regular Famicom version of this game has much, much better music. I don't have it handy what it's called, but in the Famicom version, they're able to use some extra processing power and add in two more channels into the music.
What?
So if you compare, there's a lot of videos out there on the YouTubes, comparing the different music between the American and Japanese release, but definitely the Japanese release music is even better than the American release.
Yes. Apparently it was kind of, they had, some sound chips built into the cartridge, and it worked with the Famicom, but it did not work with the NES, or as they say in the UK, the NES.
Wow.
So the North American versions does have, it's not really a password feature, but it is a, you can enter like your name. If you put help me at the beginning for your name, you start the game with 10 lives, and you can also start the game, like there's an extra difficulty option, and there are also options like, oh, you can start with one of the helpers. So, you know, there's little touches like that.
I'm kind of upset that the Famicom has higher processing. That makes me jealous. Yeah. Makes me think they thought the dumb Americans couldn't handle it.
Famicom's got a lot of stuff like that. Like the fact that there's a microphone in the second controller, and well, some games actually use it.
Not too upset about that.
No, that mostly seems stupid, but it was like a part in Zelda, which I think we mentioned.
It's classic Nintendo.
Yeah.
Insane peripherals.
Yeah. What did kids want with their systems? A robot and a microphone in the second controller.
I want to yell at my games. I mean, I do that anyway, but I don't want it to do anything.
Well, just to touch on where this series is now, this was the last Castlevania game for the NES, but the series would continue on a bunch of other future systems. Unfortunately, the last new side-scrolling game was in 2008, but the Lord of Shadows series in 2013 and 2014 compared more to God of War than proper Castlevania. By the way, the second season of the animated Castlevania series premieres on Netflix on October 26th.
Whoa.
It is supposed to be an 8-episode, 23-minute each season. On the same day, Castlevania Requiem, a package of Symphony of the Night and Rondo of Blood, is scheduled to come out for the PlayStation 4.
That's cool.
Now, we got to talk about that animated Castlevania series on Netflix, because I don't know if you boys watched it. I sure did, and I enjoyed it. But it is, the story of that show is based on Castlevania 3.
Oh
yeah,
it features Alucard himself in it, and
is Grant Dinasty in there?
I have not seen Grant Dinasty, but there's Trevor Belmont in there. I mean the story, the intro of Castlevania 3, the reason they explain why Dracula is trying to turn the world evil and bad, as they say in the intro, is because he was married to a lady named Lisa, and the humans killed her because they thought she was a witch, and it made him all angry.
Oh.
And he had wanted to take over the earth after that, and that leads to his half-blood son Alucard fighting his own father, his own flesh and blood, to put an end to his reign. And that is the story of the Netflix series.
Well, it would make sense for them to start there, because Wikipedia does have a chronology of the Castlevania series, and this Dracula's Curse is the second game in the chronology. The first is Lament of Innocence, which is set in 1094, and this is second at 1476. So,
boy, what,
was that
that's
the
old
PlayStation 2 game? Which one was that?
Yes, Lament of Innocence is set in 1094. It focuses on the origins of the series premise. The eternal conflict between the vampire hunters of the Belmont clan and the immortal vampire Dracula. And you follow Leon Belmont as he gets up in it in the vampire's castle in search of his kidnapped betrothed.
Hey, so, Leon. I don't get down on damn vampires.
But yeah. So yeah, I'm just, sorry. I'm trying to skim this really quick, but it looks it's set way before all of them. And it
I'm just being reminded of I'm just thinking of stuff that's hit our cutting room floor on these episodes. We were talking about the modern day Castlevania starring Jaden Belmont.
Oh yeah.
The millennial Castlevanian.
Was that on the episode? I don't think that was on the episode.
I think it hit the floor.
I think that was post.
No, it was after.
Post-episode.
Yeah, it'll be in a clip show 4 years from now.
Yes, the 2016 version.
Yeah.
Aiden Belmont.
unfortunately, according to this series chronology, there are no games from 1944 to 2035. So once we hit 2035, we'll be living in Area of Sorrow. Or Aria of Sorrow, I guess.
This area of sorrow.
Yeah, right around here. Some sorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just keep pointing at your crotch.
Yeah. I mean, still fits. But one year later, Dawn of Sorrow.
Dawn?
D-O-N.
Yeah. D-A-W-N. Dawn.
Call that the 2016 election. Am I right, fellas?
Oh.
Oh. Where's the drop? Nope. Guess not.
Yes, hello. YBC boys. It's your pal, Donnie.
Your pal.
Oh, no. No. I actually meant the Seinfeld drop, but...
Oh, I thought you meant the
oh. drop.
No, no. I would never talk that way about a good friend of the show. Even if I don't agree with his politics.
I was obviously joking. Please, Donnie.
I mean, that's what you've said many times off the air. That Trump fella, you know, bad policies, but I just like that guy.
Something about him. So charismatic. So, you know what? He's funny. That's what it is.
Yeah,
I don't care what he does.
Your pal, Donnie, otherwise known as Brez.
Brez. I want to copy that painting. Lincoln, Bush.
Oh, yeah.
It's chilling. Ford. Anyway, let's move on.
No, this is a pretty solid game in game series. I wish they would make some more platforming ones.
Yeah, they do
need
that.
Todd, I understand you might have some folks who like this one.
Oh yeah, I think we all agree this is a pretty swell platformer, but I have three reasons why Castlevania 3 on the NES is the most best game of all time. And the first is written by somebody named Todd J. Defoe, no relation, on January of 2012. And he wrote, Todd wrote, almost as cool as Castlevania 2, but not quite. A good all-around game for new or old-school gamers on the greatest system ever built. 5 stars.
Wow.
Ooh.
The NES, the greatest system.
Nice and quick review. All right, here's another quick one. It is by Matthew Vera in February of 2018. So it's a recent review. The title is So Sad and So Mad. And Matthew wrote, it did not work in my retro bit NES to sense cartridge. So sad and so mad. 5 stars.
What year was this?
2018.
Huh. Okay.
All right. Oh, the next one is for the Japanese import of Akujumo Durakura 3.
Ooh.
And this is by somebody named, somebody that's reviewed a game for us before. It's by Ivan Orozco in March 2016. And the title of Ivan's review is, Konami is the greatest video game company in the universe. They are gods, the best of the best. Konami rocks. And Ivan writes, Konami is the greatest video game company in the universe. They're true geniuses, the best of best. Konami rocks all the games Konami made from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, 2015, and 2016 are the greatest video games in the universe. They're true classics, the best of all time, the best games Konami made from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, 2015, and 2016 rocks. 2015 and 2016 for Konami are the greatest years for Konami in the universe. They're perfect years, the best of the best. 2015 and 2016 for Konami rocks. Smiley face. 5 stars.
Wow.
Wow. That is impressive.
That was a journey right there.
That was incredible.
Oof.
I mean, if you weren't convinced before, you gotta be convinced now. This is a rock solid game. 5 stars all around. Mm-hmm.
It is hard to disagree, especially because Konami made it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I normally do right about now is the 1-star Yelp review. I couldn't find one. Instead, I have a 2-star Yelp review for the Braylock Inn, which is a Scottish hotel and restaurant. Well, Scottish themed hotel and restaurant. And I was going to read all of this
in Scotland.
But
how did you find that based on Castlevania 3?
Here's why. We came to the Lock de la Inn at the Bray one fateful Friday night. We came here at the request of my niece, whose graduation from Castlevania of Casanova was the very next day.
What?
It has been said in many a tale that Bray Day Inn had some of the best burgers and bar foods in all the land, this side the Mason-Dixon line, and she so wanted this magical supposed fare. On my way up, as a passenger, I studied and drooled, desired and spoke of the menu, as I spent the 4-hour ride doing nothing but thinking about dinner. All of us laughed and cried as we told stories of our future dining experience at the Inn of the Bray Monster. Epic tales of grilled pizza and bonfire shrimp were the subject of conversation for the entire trip. We looked forward to nothing more than this menu. As we arrived in Castlevania, New York, we took in the surroundings of the small, quaint college town that we'd never been to before. People busily hustling about, coming and going from cute little local shops in the one random subway in town. We quickly found a spot and parked. By the way, this goes on for another 500 words.
Are we reading them all?
I'm going to skip ahead. No. I'm sad I have to award 2 stars, but alas, I can't honestly be okay with what happened. I understand you want to prepare for busy times, but every other restaurant had a full menu, and they were busy. Why, pray tell, Mr. and Mrs. Braylock, why did you do this to us? Sad face. They wrote sad face out, by the way.
Oh, boy.
So here's the thing. This restaurant, the Braylock Inn, is in Casanova, New York. So I believe they were dictating this review, and it just changed it to Castlevania multiple times.
Nice.
I was wondering if there was.
Yeah, I thought there was a Castlevania, New York.
That's.
I feel like that would have come up before. Like,
what a tale that guy is spinning. He's 4 hours. 4 hours and drooling over hamburgers and pizzas on the way out.
Yes,
you get a pizza around the corner. You can dial up Tommy's and get a pizza. That's a drive 4 hours.
Well, they were there to see their niece's graduation from Castlevania.
Exactly.
She was getting her degree in magic, and her husband was getting his certificate for whipping. So
blood sucking.
Yeah. Garlic throwing.
Braylock.
But yes. Yes, that review was from Eric F. of Andover, Connecticut. So,
wow.
Well,
it was quite the tale.
Congrats to Eric F. on writing that masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I would say so. Sad face.
It really, at the end of this, it really does say sad face. So, like, spelled out. So, let's move right along. Huel, were you able to thumb through the manual of this one?
In a way, yes. I did get the manual. As a manual for an NES-era Konami game. This is excellent.
Ooh.
It has a wonderful beginning, summing up what's going on. It has a surprising amount of sass. Like almost too much sass. Like, this is a spoop game. We're chopping down skelly bones and vampires. Mm-hmm. I don't need that much sass.
Oh.
Like, I get it. It's the third game in the series. It's later in the life cycle of the system. Maybe they're just letting loose. Like, this is we just turned into 1990. This is the extreme era coming through.
Yes.
But it's got character bios mm-hmm. of the four playable characters. Tells you how to play stuff. Goes through enemy. It's got some enemy drawings. It's got the power up draw or the weapons and the power ups and descriptions of those. The sass does go a little too far into the corny joke side. Because, for example, at one point, let me find the context here. Oh boy, I should have looked this up beforehand. But see, it's something about like Trevor's chances are slimmer than a gym. Is that a Slim Jim reference?
Do they spell it G-I-M?
J-I-M. Slimmer than a gym.
Wow.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
And they,
sure,
the
kid would.
What?
Kid would get that reference, of course.
Kid? Of Kid and Play?
Yeah. Him or a child reading this manual.
Is he a Slim Jim fan? Famously? Okay. Yeah. But yeah, a little too far on the corny joke side, so I'm going to have to dial it back a tiny bit and go 4 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Ooh.
For the Castlevania 3 manual.
Mm.
Okay, when did this game come out?
1990.
All right, so I was looking it up, trying to find clips of our friend Macho Man, Randy Savage, who called into our show.
Oh, yeah, YPP, it's the Macho Man.
And so I was trying to find
him.
Why are they referring to Slim Jims in the 1990 game? Because Macho Man didn't start at the advertising campaign to make it into the zeitgeist until 1993.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That is odd. I was kind of taken aback. Like, does it mean something else? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, Slim Jims are also their they are weapons. They're like a billy club, a bobby club, whatever they call it, a blackjack. Yeah, there we go.
They're almost a whip in themselves. So maybe
I guess those are pretty
another
slim.
Castlevania reference.
I guess those are pretty thin.
Well, it's their name. I don't know. I just thought that was weird. And there's a bunch of corny jokes like that strewn about. Mm.
Well,
still getting 4 though.
Well, then. Yeah. Still a good score.
Oh,
so very presentable.
It's the best in a while.
Yeah. So just to go to my regular feature, the Herzog ranking hierarchy system. This is a very strong entry. You know, I struggled with whether it deserved the best score or the next to best score, and I'm just gonna. It's coming in at a Herzog. None. Herzog 9.
Ooh, none.
So, oh.
Noon.
Noin.
Noin. Herzog Noid. Herzog. And it's
ooh.
2. Herzog is.
What? Herzog coin. My drop machine's exploding.
Herzog sure, coin flip. But no, this is a really strong game. The only reason it's not a perfect score is it is a little tricky. And I don't know. I feel like, you know, it's not my favorite Castlevania game, so I can't give it a 10. So
right. Oh, like I think it's the highest you've gone. Did you go Herzog 10 at some point? Maybe you did.
I did for one other game, and of course I can't remember it. So it really made an impression.
Maybe Link's Awakening.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
Just looking at our recent ones.
Yeah. It was probably Link's Awakening because that is a wonderful game.
But no, I just do like ever so slightly. I like the old sympathy of the night a little bit better.
Right.
And same with a lot of them DS Castlevania games.
Those are a romping good time. A lot of fun to take on the go.
Yes. Just they're a little bit easier, and you can there are some light experience level system kind of thing that can help you get your way through it if you are having trouble with the tricky part.
One of the things I like about it is they give you a variety of options on how to get past things. It's not you're going to be frustrated because you only have a weak little whip and you can't beat all these Medusa heads. They give you options on different weapons. You can equip a huge axe that swings around and kills all the bats all around you, or use a magic spell to do something.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like this game is innovative for the time, and it's a good romp. But you know, it's just there are a little bit better games out now. But we should move on though. Todd, what about your rating system?
So the DuckTale scale has two primary factors, those being nostalgia and replayability. Nostalgia. You know, it's a Castlevania game. I didn't put too much time in with 3 as a kid. I played a lot of 1, played a lot of tons of 1. Not much 2 because I couldn't get very far. 3 was a rental for me, a rental. But I did enjoy it playing it as a kid. So and it is Castlevania's, as I said. So I have high nostalgia in that regard, just as a series. Replayability. This one is fairly replayable for a platformer, in that you got the diverging paths and you can pick up different companions. I don't know if we mentioned this, but you can only have a single companion at a time, and each gives a different ending. Although the endings are all very similar, they each have their own ending. I mean, it's basically Trevor standing on a cliff with one of the companions. So it does have some replayability for a platformer of this ilk. So I'll calculate in Castlevania 3 with a 0.72 DuckTales.
That was way off.
I thought you were going to go higher from that description. I was kind of with Huel on this one.
Yeah, I went 0.89. I just thought you had more nostalgia for Castlevania, but...
Yeah, I mean,
one specifically.
Nostalgia plenty about the soundtrack. The soundtracks of the Castlevanias are stuff I just put on in the background my entire life and just jam out. The games themselves, they're fun little romps, but it's not like not a Mario or anything like that. Not a Mario or anything like that.
Yeah, okay. Kind of readjust my dials.
Look at your barometer and guess again.
Yep.
Well, Huel, was there anything else you wanted to say about this one before we moved on?
A weird part of the manual I read is they're talking about the spirit Grant Dynasty, and it is implied that he's dead, correct? He is an actual ghost.
I don't remember that being the case.
Well, the first line of his...
You would think it would be mentioned in the manual somewhere.
Well, it is, because the first line of his bio says Count Dracula used his sinister powers to turn the pirate captain into a ghost.
Oh.
So to me, that means he just killed him. Like, why do they have to say he used his sinister powers to turn him into a ghost? I don't think there's any way to turn into a ghost except for dying. So I don't know if Dracula wrote this. He's trying to cover up something. I'm not sure.
It is normally a strong component of becoming a ghost.
Yeah.
Is dying.
The whole death thing. So it just seemed odd. We got Dracula got his PR people in here. I'm not sure.
Huh.
Yep. So that's that. End of report.
End of report. Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
No, it's a fun little romp. I recommend everybody give it a whirl, give it a spin. And also watch that Castlevania show on Netflix. It's a fun little show. It's a short show. I think there's only 4 episodes in the first season. Second season has 8. nice blood and guts cartoon show. Recommend.
Oh yeah. Also, this game is available on the Nintendo Virtual Systems. I don't think it's available on the other ones, but I'm not positive on that. What Konami, what they really need to do is do like Capcom and other game companies have, and just do one of them collections, because I would buy the hell out of that. So
collect all those Castlemanias up.
Yeah, I mean, even if they did just one with Castlemanias, that would be good. So, well, we should move right along now to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you get any emails this week?
Ooh, you know what? I sure enough did. I did get an email, and they wrote, Stephen Huell and Todd. I'm looking for some of your expert advice on a topic I think you know a lot about. I listened to your Duke Nukem episode and remembered how much of a strapping and attractive guy that is. Who is your favorite hot and schmexy beefcake in a video game?
Wow.
That's hot with three T's.
Okay.
And that's from
How is schmexy spelled?
Schmexy is S-C-H-M-E-X-Y.
Hot okay. and only, schmexy. Only one X. Okay, interesting.
One X.
Okay.
And that's from your totally platonic fan, Tim from Vegas.
Okay.
I was surprised he didn't leave a voicemail. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for this.
There's a lot of Dig Hunks
3D may have been in my answer.
A lot of hunks out there. Todd, since you got this first, do you have an answer?
You know, I did get it, but I didn't even think about it because Duke Nukem was going to be my answer.
Wow.
But, you know, I have to do a quick Google to figure out who I'm.
Are you going to search video game hunks?
Yeah, I'm searching right now. I searched video game studs, and that only got me results for the Lego video games because you pick up
studs as
currency.
That's what they're called, yeah.
Yeah.
Video game studs.
Let's try video game hunks and see what that. Oh, 20 of the hottest video game hunks.
Yeah.
Tomsguide.com.
Tom. Oh, boy.
Oh, it's a slideshow. I'm getting out of here.
Back out.
Oh, here what we about, go. Right here. I got a strapping hunk right off the top. Alucard from the Castlevania series. Geez. What an attractive beast he is.
That plunging neckline.
He is like the Edward Cullen of video games.
Oh, do not insult Alucard. How dare you?
He's the original. He predates Edward Cullen, decade or two.
Puts into shame.
It's
funny because it's one of those questions where like there's so many options, it's hard to even think of one.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's so many hot guys that you're always
thinking about. There's so many.
I got one for you.
80% of video games star a dude, if not 90%.
Yeah, I got one for you, Huell. That he's a strapping guy with an attitude and superpowers. Jerry the Witcher Man.
Oh, man, that is a fantastic,
fantastic
choice.
Jerry Witcher Man, MD?
Gary Witcher Man. Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's shirtless through a lot of it, or a lot of cutscenes, so.
He's got a lot of scars on his body that he knows.
Mm. Exactly.
That's
almost the definition of schmexy.
I was going to go with Arnold Schwenyman from Last Action Hero.
Wow.
Schwenyman?
Or one of his earlier games, movie roles, Conan the Barbarian. But I feel like that'd be cheating. So why don't we just go with Iron Sword, Wizards and Warriors 2, which has Fabio as the
the cover art. Yeah.
Yeah. And the playable character. And also, this beefy guy from the first game is he's also a sweaty, oily man. So,
yeah, a lot of those fantasy games had some classic hunks. But what about the two Contra bros on the cover of Contra?
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Contra. Oh, Golden Axe. We played that game.
Schwennemans. Yeah, we did.
Cut a new drop that goes along with all everything we're talking about right now.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
There you go.
Nothing. Nothing's better
exactly
than this.
Exactly what we're doing.
Well.
Not bad.
Listen, if we even have blood left in our brains at this point, Huel, can you read an email if you received one?
Look how flustered Steve is.
Thinking about all
the
words out.
I barely have any blood in my brain right now. That's why.
I feel like it's a topic I'm going to stew on for about a week, and maybe I'll come back with an answer. I feel like there's a lot of research to be done that I can do late at night. Luckily, yes, I did get an email, and it reads, "Dear YPB, it's not often I get to write to anyone, but after hearing last week's episode on nightmare creatures, I felt compelled. The fact that you would cover such a slanderous and prejudiced video game is appalling. We do not block, we do not dodge, we shamble. To even imply that we can think for ourselves is absurd and frankly offensive. Our strength is in our numbers, not our dexterity. I would ask you to please cover only cover games that respect our culture in the future. It did make me wonder, what's the best defensive move in a video game? And that is signed, a zombie. P.S. Oh. Brains."
Huh.
Wow. So, you know, I'm sorry that we offended this this zombie. We offended an entire race of people.
They were offended, mostly, I think, just disappointed, and I think we just have to be better in the future. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned, be more culturally sensitive, that kind of thing.
When they shamble, we walk.
Right. Where would we be without the shambling?
Mm.
So we often talk about attacks and like best weapons and things like that, but what is the best defensive move in a video game?
It's tough. I mean, I can't even really think of an actual defensive move. One that comes to mind is in the old Smash Brothers, and also this applies to pretty much any fighting game nowadays, especially Street Fighter. They have parries. They've added parries into the mix. So whenever you pull off Smash Brothers, if you pull off a perfectly timed parry, you have a little gray flash over your body, and you whack that guy. Instead of him hitting you, you're hitting him.
That was actually my choice, because even in those earlier Smashes, especially Brawl, I think, or Melee was the GameCube one. Like that perfectly timed counter where you're not
so
just holding down the block.
Satisfying when you pull it off.
Pulling that off, that perfect counter where you get a chance to attack back is fantastic. And that was actually my choice after reading this zombie's email.
Mm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So my thing was along those same lines, which is the wrestling games that have the reversals. Although it's fun at first, but it makes it hard to play on the harder difficulties, because it feels like the computer opponent just reverses everything you do. So you just end up throwing strikes at him the entire time.
That is an issue. Like, yeah. If it was a little more lenient, that's fun. Mm-hmm. But like when you pull those off too, like that's really fun too.
Yeah.
So it's the same idea, but it's a little more applicable, I think, in the wrestling games.
Mm-hmm.
Because you actually get to like do something afterwards.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Well, how about this? Here's a huge cop out answer. How about towers? Tower defense. You set up those towers and they defend.
They sure
do. Attackers from wave after wave of attackers.
There's always some good ones in like RTSs too. Not just tower defense games, but RTSs.
Yeah, that is satisfying. Sometimes I do like to play the old StarCraft and then just go to one of the early easy stages and then just build up some bunkers with some space marines and have them shoot them Zergs.
It's fun. It is fun.
Yeah. Well, I received one mail this week. The subject is sponsored post by Alexander. Hello, do you accept sponsored posts on your site? We are willing to pay in writing text by ourselves. Can you name the price in USD, please? Do you accept PayPal payments? Waiting for your answer. Thanks, Alexander.
Can we be bought is the question, I think.
Pretty much.
I mean, what are we advertising? Are we advertising Doritos Locos, or are we advertising the next Trump campaign? What are we dealing with here?
Does not say.
I think we need a little more information, but I'm going to go with a preemptive yes.
Yeah, and I'll go for I don't want money. A little payola, little taste of what's going on. I don't need a. Let's not get this in writing. Let's just talk about it. Let's talk.
Yeah, talk offline about it.
Yeah, we can name some prices on air. But I guess not.
Well, let's move right along then. Todd, did we receive any asks this week?
Ooh, you know what? I got a fairly quick one. So let's get it out of my inbox because they keep pinging me about it. So let us ask the Sweet Boys. Right, send in all your life questions into parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and we will keep your questions anonymous and help you out with whatever's troubling you. And this is from an anonymous, and they wrote, "How to convince my grandma to buy me a drum kit." It's only $3,000, and I need to by Wednesday. As I formed a band with some friends and volunteered my house as our, quote, bass. I'm the drummer. And perhaps you can tell from this question, but I don't have a drum kit. I need one as we're recording our first cover on Friday, which is why I need it by Wednesday. One day to set up, of course. One day to learn the song, of course. My grandma can be generous with gifts, but I need some extra motivation / tips, as I've never asked her for anything above $2,000 before. Any ideas?
Jesus. Wow.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Here's what you do. If I've learned anything, old people will give as much money as possible to anything they receive in the mail. So you just have to write up some sort of like donation thing that that you can mail to her. Just mock something up. I don't know. Find a cause she believes in. Or just something she's afraid of to spend money to quash. Throw that in the mailbox. She'll open it up. She'll write that $3,000 check. You take that, cash it, and then buy the drum set.
Yeah, I mean, it's so kind of roundabout way, but, you know, it's what she really wants.
So you're saying this person should try to defraud their grandmother?
No, not defraud, but just regular fraud.
Oh yes,
you don't want to unfraud, because then you don't get any money.
It's hard to believe, but I misspoke there, and I normally speak real good.
I honestly don't know if defraud is an actual word. It just didn't sound correct. No, you need to fraud her.
Is it anti-fraud?
Herzog, two.
Herzog, two. Fraud. Herzog. Defraud.
Now, I was going to say something a little similar to that one. Instead of a charity, I was going to say, you should become a Nigerian prince and shoot your grandma an email that way. Tell her, and you know, you don't really have to lie about it. Just say, hey, I'm a Nigerian prince. I want to come to America and play my drums for you, but I need you to buy those drums for me.
Wow.
Set them up in your house, and then I'll come over and play them.
That's a great one. Yeah.
And then she finds out that her grandson was the prince all along.
Well, she doesn't have to find that part. Just like, oh, sorry, there was an emergency in Nigeria. Can't make it.
Yeah. But by the way,
I contacted your grandson, and he's going to play drums for you.
Yep. Going to record that cover.
It's diabolical, but it's also like a tight plan. I don't see how it could go wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If history has taught us anything, emails and mailers, it's the best way to get old people to send you money.
Well, on that note, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off?
Yeah, I need to go now because the townspeople, they're afraid of my power, and they asked me to leave.
Oh, that's unfortunate to hear. Huel, was there anything else you wanted to say?
Dracula is dead, and all other spirits are asleep.
I'm glad they're just resting for a bit.
Cozy.
Mm-hmm. Now to play us out here, Todd, can you play a little snifferoo from next week's episode?
This is One Tough Video Game. Fester's Quest is one tough video game with sinister mazes, deadly traps, hideous monsters, and spooky graphics. But if you make just one mistake, you start all over again. Fester's Quest, the video game from Sunsoft for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Are you good enough?
I don't like the sound of that. You make one mistake and you start all over.
Oh, boy. That's probably why it sucks so bad.